Blog Talk Radio.
Funky get a fit sense. Just dance. Simple plan. God damn. She want it. I wanna give it to her. She know that. It's right here for her. I wanna see her break it down. Yeah. I'm ballin'. Blowing money around.
She a work girl, she work the pole. She break it down, she take it low. She find the tail, she bout the dough. She doing a thing out on the floor. Her money, money, she make it look at the way. She shake it, make you want to touch it, make you want to taste it. How you lustin' for it, going crazy, face it now. Don't stop, get it. The way she shake it, make you want to hit it. Think she double jointed from the way she split it. Got that fucked up from the way she did it. She's so much more than you used to. She know just how to move to seduce you. She gon' do the right thing and touch the right spots and dance to your lap till you're ready to pop. She always ready. When you want it, she want it like a nympho. The info, I show you where to meet her. On the late night till daylight, the club jumping. If you want a good time, she gon' give you what you want.
Baby, it's a new age,
you
like my new craze. Let's get together, maybe we can start a new phase. This move's got a club all in. Got like don't you just as pretty. Why don't you come over here? You got me sitting here. I'm tired of you.
How do you feel about all these releases now? I mean,
it's got to be, you know, cap making cap space, especially Detroit, because they want to get Ndamukong and Sue back in the fold, and I'm pretty sure Reggie Bush was going to count so much against the cap that they would make a deal with Sue, so they have to do something. I mean, Reggie Bush has been mostly ineffective in his time in Detroit. I mean, he couldn't get on because of his history, but when he was on the field, he was mostly ineffective. And how would I know that? I had him on my fantasy team, and he didn't get me much of anything. But yeah.
I mean, his first year with Detroit wasn't bad. I mean, honestly, I don't think that Detroit Lions offense knew how to utilize Reggie Bush's strengths. To a strong degree. I mean, Reggie Bush is one of the most versatile running backs in the league. I mean, he can run out of the backfield. He can run up the middle. He can run outside. He can catch out of the backfield. You can line him up in the slot receiver as a slot receiver. And he can return kicks.
Yeah, this is true.
So, very true. For a team like Detroit that is known for having a high-powered offense, I would assume that Reggie Bush and the fold, they're to take advantage of that. I mean, it's been a while since the Lions really had a running back with Reggie Bush's ability. I mean, they haven't had that since Barry Sanders, really.
This is true, but I mean, at the same time, like his first year, like you said, was very good, but he hasn't really done much since then. And
I mean,
again, having that much against the cap, they had no choice but to cut him.
I mean, I understand him being that much against the cut, but at the same time, I still don't think they really knew how to use him. I mean, Jacquees Bell was, I ain't gonna lie, Bell was great. My man Mike was sure. I don't know what the hell happened to him. Like he was at one point this up and coming power back, man. He just, I don't know. He's not the same guy that's what he's gonna be. He wasn't the Thunder to Reggie Bush's Lightning.
Right.
But I mean, honestly, this will actually be a good one for Reggie Bush. Because he can find his way to a contender.
He could.
A team that actually needs a running back like him. Running back that can hit the outside and return kicks and be a good receiver. I mean, he don't got to worry about being the number one guy no more. Because, I mean, at this point, Reggie is 30.
Right.
I ain't going to take nothing away because of his age, but he's at that lateral part of his career now. I mean, that's what we're going to be really looking at, a 30-year-old running back to be the franchise back, feature back.
This is true. I believe we got Almond Joy on the line with us as well. Almond Joy, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Hi.
What do you do?
Hey.
What do you do?
Working like a brown mouth mule.
Oh, I feel your pain. Right now, I'm actually ironing my clothes for my interview tomorrow.
Oh,
so can,
congratulations
so can,
on the interview. So good luck.
Thank you. I can get out of this nightmare that I'm living in.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Jill's over there. I'm over here about 1 year old. It's crazy.
You been up since when?
No, I said Jill's doing is ironing for an interview. I'm assaulted by a 1 year old.
That's your
perpetrator,
my friend.
Yep. Aunt Julia. Yeah, he said, I'm going to show what you like
or
not. That's
right. Yeah, we was actually talking about a few sudden releases in the NFL. I mean, we talked about Reggie Bush. Jacoby Jones wasn't that much of a surprise either.
I kind of thought he was going to get released. I thought he was going to be one of those mid-season releases, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like,
you know how they just kind of kick you off the team in the middle of the season and
You're
usually either traded or just dropped from the rolls altogether. At least they gave him the dignity to finish the season.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like we haven't seen him since 2 Super Bowls ago. We ain't seen them since the Super Bowl that they won. Super Bowl 46?
Damn.
No,
has it been that many Super Bowls?
I mean, this last year was, what, 49, right? 49.
Yeah, 49.
So, yeah, Super Bowl 47 was the last time he's been seen. I mean, he had a great game that night, but I mean, that was the last time he's been seen. He should have got Super Bowl MVP though.
But you know,
Kobe Jones.
But again, you know, it's something about once you get your ring. Once some of these players get their ring, it just seems like the momentum is gone. For them, they're like, I got my ring, I'm good. Some people slow down and some people don't, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess the hype actually finally was. I think the hype went to his head. Because I mean,
yeah.
You had. I mean, you returned the kickoff. You scored. How many touchdowns in that game? What, three?
Three.
Yeah, you returned the kickoff. I think a punt return, and you scored a receiving touchdown.
But look at who you also had at the time. You got to consider who else was playing with him at that time. What, two of them played for San Francisco?
Equan Bowl.
Yeah, two played for Frisco, the team that they beat in the Super Bowl. So.
You had Boyd Smith.
And he also had, you know, Ike Turner before he, you know, went and Ike's on his fiance. Now he's playing for Denver.
Hey, leave Lil Ray Ray alone.
No.
Leave Lil Ray Ray alone.
Hey, I'm just saying, he did. He kind of Ike Turnered her in the.
What he did in elevators is no one's business.
Apparently,
unless
it is.
The video comes out, at which point it makes it their business.
Yeah.
I know. I just had to, you know, add my little stencil.
Yeah.
So when you think about the team Jacoby Jones had at the time.
The players. I feel
the
you.
The players. At the time. I mean, you know, I'm going to tell you right now. When you kind of take my whole little, you know, my whole little lineup for me and I'm stuck with what I'm stuck with. I ain't catching shit either. You can throw your
name. I mean,
I
understand that, but there's a reason why a lot of those players ended up leaving the Ravens, though.
Well, because
remember,
Flacco got that pay raise and everybody else got that pay cut.
Basically,
$100 million.
And as a Ravens fan, I totally stand by this statement. He is not a $100+ million fucking quarterback. He's really not. He's too inconsistent. You know, he's like, Flacco plays like a woman has good hair days and bad hair days. He has a good hair day, shit's going his way, and then it fucking rains and that perm is like no bueno. Okay?
Damn, she said. Joe Flacco with a woman's hair. Lord.
He is the equivalent to a female bad hair day. He is. He really is. He is the equivalent to getting a scrunchie and pulling your hair back into a ponytail because you have nothing else you can do with your hair at that moment. And you at work and you still got six more hours on the clock looking like shit.
Wow. And we're here now.
And that's me saying that shit. Now, there are quarterbacks who are worth that much money. Again, I hate to say this. Tom Brady is one of those quarterbacks. He has more consistency than not when playing football, when being a quarterback. He really, really does. He's more consistent. He always makes, like, the top 10 in quarterbacks for the fucking for the fucking fantasy league. Always. But they always put the Super Bowl winning quarterback or the runners up or whatever always in the top two for some reason. Like that year they put, like the year when Baltimore beat San Francisco, Colin Kaepernick was in the number one spot for fantasy football. But didn't put out all the points that he was supposed to in the fantasy football for that year. And he's been in the top, he was in the top five I think last year too. But Tom Brady has always been in the top 10. But he has never been below number 5. I'll tell you that. So, like I said, I am not a Pats fan. By no way, shape, or form. But I recognize consistency. Because think about it. How many rings does Tom Brady have at the current moment?
Four.
He has four rings. With the same fucking team.
Four rings on six Super Bowl appearances.
There you go.
It's not a bad percentage.
How many How many of these other quarterbacks outside of Brett Favre and Peyton Manning has done that? That's worth that much money.
All time or just? I mean, all time. You got Montana and Bradshaw with four.
Okay. Well, no, I'm talking about for these last decade.
Let's see.
Big Super Bowl, Eli. Super Bowl visits. Eli did, yeah. Big Super Bowl visits and four rings.
Nobody else who's in this era has been to the Super Bowl more than Tom Brady. I mean, that's a fact.
There you
go. It is.
There
what it
you
is.
Go. That's what
honestly,
I'm saying.
Though,
currently in the last 10, I'll even say 15 years. In the last 15 years, Tom Brady has been doing his damn thing. He's almost been playing for 20 years.
This is about to be season 16 right here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's been playing football for almost 20 years with the same group of fucking people.
But technically, it's not the same group of people.
Well, with a group of people,
it's been him and Belichick. Those are the only sole survivors off the first three rings.
There you go.
So, they only ain't got the same kicker.
They'll never have the same kicker. They'll probably get a new guy this season. But I'm just saying. When you talk about the consistency in quarterbacks and stuff like that, and real playmakers and things like that, for me, is not that dude. I mean, does he get some lucky breaks? Of course, yeah. He every now and then just like lucky the leprechaun is so far up his ass. You know, his colonoscopy for the year is good. Okay?
Wow.
He gets fucking lucky. So, I mean, like I said, I love the dude. I don't hate him. You know, I have no discord with him because at the end of the day, he somehow manages to get the job done. But to me, it's kind of mediocre. It's like, hey, I'm just getting by quarterback. You know what I'm saying? But for the money that they're paying him, he should be putting up. They should never miss a spot in the playoffs. They should never be a wild card pick. They should always have a guaranteed spot in the playoffs for the amount of money that he's getting paid.
I understand that.
At least.
Here's one argument with that. He doesn't have the talent around him.
It doesn't matter. For the amount of money that you are getting paid, for us to lose two players who are probably worth that money as far as like keeping, you know, for what they lost and what they're paying them, no. It doesn't balance out. It's not a fair trade.
At the same time, I mean, quarterback can't do
it
by himself.
A logical trade. No, he can't do it by himself, but it still wasn't even a logical trade.
I mean, honestly, it wasn't because, I mean, y'all gave up Bolden for a six-round pick.
There you go.
I mean, you got to blame the front office on that.
But I'm just saying. Like, he went to the Super Bowl. He got a ring. Ray Lewis got his retirement ring.
But, I mean, at the same time, here's one thing that people overlook when it comes to Joe Flacco. He has been to the playoffs almost every season that he's been in the league except for one year.
Yeah, he has. That's what I said.
In those years, he has won playoff games.
And even a division championship.
He's never been bounced out of the first round.
No, that I agree with.
That's something a lot of quarterbacks can't say. That's something Peyton Manning himself can't say.
Yeah.
That's something that Drew Brees cannot say.
Now, what the hell happened to New Orleans?
Honestly,
what the fuck happened to New Orleans?
I can't explain.
New Orleans can't explain it.
Because, I mean, Drew Brees wasn't his best.
No.
His receiving core wasn't its best. I mean, this is not the same team that was from the years past. Mark Ingram getting hurt. That hurt them and my fantasy league. But yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that was a huge blow. Because it was like him and Rashard Jennings went down at the same time, and it was painful to watch.
And when we talk about fantasy leagues, I always pick the Ravens for like defense and stuff like that. And you're right. I'm usually pretty good until the playoffs. Like once we start the playoffs, that's when my shit gets sketchy. I'm just I'm in the playoffs.
my team went sour after I was 7-1. That's when my players started getting injured. It was downhill. It was like no matter what I did, it was like that's where everybody just That's when all my players that were hot went down, and everything else just kept cropping out.
That's how bad my team was. My team was done after the.
Man, I was kicking ass in that scoutbox. I was mad as shit. Like I was standing on top of the division.
I think you might have slapped me. I'm not.
Man.
No, because I could have. Because I think Baltimore got beat by a wild card team. It was like home field advantage for Baltimore, and they got beat by a wild card. And that just really fucked up my day because I was just like, oh no, y'all ain't gonna win. And I can't remember who it was.
I don't remember them ever losing to a wild card.
They lost to a wild card.
I don't remember ever losing a wild card. It wasn't this year because they beat the snot out of the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, they beat the Steelers, which I expect that to happen. But you know, Baltimore and the Steelers have this weird rivalry. That shit is like some back and forth as far as like. For their
those teams legitimately hate each other.
But it's like it's a weird relationship. It's kind of like when they have the battle for the Bay when the 49ers play against the Oakland Raiders, and they do the Battle of the Bay game.
Yeah,
that shit too is like a weird relationship. You know what I'm saying? Like they're rivals.
It's a rivalry.
Like, they're rivals, but it's just strange. It's like, you know, Raiders are there. They're like, yeah, we're going to fuck y'all up. And then they get on the field, and it's just like, hey, you win. Hold on.
You know, they actually fight in those games.
Oh, yeah, I know. They fight. The fans fight.
No, I was talking about the fans. I wasn't talking about the players.
Oh.
Fans
well,
again.
Yeah. The fans was either last year or the year before where the guy flipped the other guy off the top of the damn stadium or something. Some guy fell off the stadium. He was a San Francisco fan and the other guy was a Raiders fan.
It was last year.
It was crazy. Are you sure it was last year? It's fun to feel like it was longer than that.
I think it was might have been last year or 2 years ago.
I thought it was 2 years ago. Because I don't think
It was 2013.
Yeah, because
it was 2013.
Well, technically,
that's what I meant when I said last year.
That's
football season.
I didn't think it was this year. Something else happened.
It was last football season.
Something happened
something happened this year, but it wasn't, like, as bad. I think somebody got their nose broke or something in the parking lot. Like I said, yeah. you know how it goes. Battle for the Bay. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm going to say, you know, when it comes to, like, certain rivalries, like the Ravens and the Steelers, the best thing to watch is the shade that goes on social media. I mean, I swear to God, man, the shade is just it's just strong within everybody. Same thing with
rivalries
like the Saints and the Falcons and then the Redskins and Cowboys. I know those rivalries, not only do you get the entertainment of watching them shade each other in person, but on social media it's even worse. But again, it's so entertaining to watch.
That is true. But I think actually when the Steelers and the Ravens fight, somebody on the team does get into a fight. So it's almost like guaranteed. Somebody does fight. Somebody gets touched the wrong way. Somebody gets touched the wrong way in a contact sport. I don't know how the fuck that shit happened. They get touched the wrong way and they ready to fight a nigga with a helmet on.
Wow.
I'm gonna tell you, I'm pretty sure Robert don't call their week like Dallas Ravens fans call their rivalry with the Cowboys.
Hell, wasn't there a fight during this last Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was at the end. It was when
the
Patriots was about
game.
To take a knee.
Yeah, there was a fight in this shit. I'm just like, really?
So Seattle.
No, you did.
What?
Yeah. Sleepless in Seattle. Salty in Seattle. Lord.
Salty in Seattle.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you had to be salty. I'm just saying. I mean, that was. Y'all talk all this shit going on the season. Then when y'all finally get beat, I mean, really.
And again, like some of these rivalries are a trip. Dallas and the Redskins. That rivalry is certifiably retarded. Because really, it isn't even a rivalry between the players. That shit is all about the fans. I think the fans created that shit.
Honestly,
I don't even find any legitimacy in that rivalry.
It's deeper than that.
It's deeper than that. Did somebody kiss somebody else's girlfriend and somebody found out and that's how it all started?
Think about it. Indians versus Cowboys. Then the fact that
there you go.
They've been in the same division since the Cowboys existed.
Isn't there some other people in the division with the Cowboys?
Honestly, the AFC, the NFC East wasn't what it was at that time.
I'm just saying, like, could you be mad?
Our rivalry is just like the Eagles and the Giants rivalry.
Oh, is it because they have to play in New Jersey? Because I would be pissed about that, too.
Honestly, I would be more mad at playing in Philly. Last time I checked, they still stabbed mascots. During the 70s, when George Arnold was a head coach of the Redskins, he actually was a former Cowboys assistant. So when he came over to Washington, he took over a lot of hate towards that Cowboys team. He instilled it in his players to hate everything that that star represents. So during the 70s, that's when the rivalry between the Skins and Cowboys picked up. And it carried on through the fact that you have all these people in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area rooting for the star opposed to rooting for the whole team. I mean, that also builds up into the rivalry.
Very much so.
I'm sorry, what year is this again?
It's 2015.
Okay.
And
how long ago was the 70s?
You have a point, however. You still have
trying to understand.
You still have all these little cowboy fans running around D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
You got Cowboys fans in fucking Arkansas because they don't have a football team.
That's understandable. But I mean, it's more personal. It's more personal. When you have people in your area that will root for your home team's biggest rival, opposed to rooting for anything else.
Shoot, I'm from that area, and I root for the city that's like an hour away's team. Shit, you know.
I mean, that's one thing, though. I mean, you're not rooting for the skin's biggest rival either.
No, I'm not.
And that's what kills me, though, is that these same Cowboys fans, DC stands for Dallas Cowboys. Who are you, moron? DC stands for District of Columbia.
Who said that?
There's plenty of people who say that.
You never heard any of them ignorant ass motherfuckers actually say that shit? Like,
what
seriously.
What do you stand for?
I'm like, you
seriously.
Moron.
Like, seriously, come on now.
DC stands for Dallas Cowboys. Are they, like, somebody actually says that shit? Like, walk up to you and say, you know what?
Hey,
DC
Young,
stands
all
for?
Of them say it. I lie to you not. All these little, how about them cowboy shit stains, walk around DC, Maryland, Virginia, talking all this shit like the cowboy. I mean, oh, this is Dallas Cowboy country. DC stands for Dallas Cowboys. Dr. Sweeney Hospital stands for Dallas Cowboy Hospital.
Oh, wow.
Go fuck yourselves.
Oh, wow. I hope they don't say that to women in, like, bars and shit, trying to pick up chicks. Cause that... You know what? Let me knock on some wood, because as soon as I come home on holiday and shit, some dude is going to say that shit to me in a bar, and I'm going to have this moment where I just think, like, do I want to throw my drink in his face or should I just walk away?
Walk away.
How
don't
about you do both?
There's always no alcohol or ignorant babble. Yeah, walk away.
Oh, my God. Like, I didn't know people actually said that shit. I really didn't. That shows you how oblivious I am.
Oh, it's worse up. It's really worse. Sad part is, these Cowboy fans are worse up here than they are in Texas. Really?
Yeah, they are. That DC Cowboy fans are on the verge of they're damn near obnoxious. I will say that much. Sometimes some of them are leaning to obnoxious. Just like if you heard on the news. A Redskin fan and a Cowboy fan got into a fight, and the Redskin fan beat that Cowboy fan to a pulp. I don't condone his actions. However, I understand.
I was about to say,
some of them
I
motherfuckers,
but I understand.
Some of them motherfuckers are very obnoxious with their shit. So, again, I don't condone it, but I understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really all you can do is just understand. I understand.
But here's the thing. There are some Redskins fans who deserve to get their asses whooped. And if that happens, I wouldn't condone it, but I'd understand.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that, too. Like a Redskins fan, a Cowboys fan getting a fight, and a Redskins fan get his ass handed to him. Again, we don't condone it, but we understand.
We definitely understand.
We definitely understand.
Yeah, we do. Honestly, there's some Redskin fans I wanted to fight myself. So, I mean, I understand. It's like, this whole quarterback controversy bullshit, it has really irked me. Because, it took this to make me realize how ignorant this fan base can be. Like, for real? I mean,
the champ has heard me bash some of these delusional dumbass Skins fans for a while now. I've done it on the Skybox for a while. I've let off.
Listen, I got a story when I was at a wrestling game at FedEx Field. Went to a game with a friend of mine. I think it was a game against the Saints. I think it was the second game where we lost the first time, where the Saints were trying to go undefeated, and we were almost the team that ended the undefeated streak, losing in overtime. So we got to the parking lot. Now I'm feeling nice. I had like a six pack pre tailgate and shit, and smoked a cigar and was feeling nice. Had a couple more and was outside just chilling. I figured we would open up some more. Man, I seen this girl. I don't know if she was, I think she's wearing a Redskins jersey. This girl, I swear to God, she was like fall down, rolling on the ground, walking around the parking lot aimlessly. And I'm sitting there. My first thought is, who the fuck are her friends? Why are they letting her walk the parking lot with a bunch of drunk people and she's drunk? What's going on here? So she just walked around aimlessly. Finally, I think her friend found her and got her home. But I was just like, really? You came to a game and got that drunk that you got separated from your friends and you're just wandering around? Like, what?
Were her friends Cowboys fans?
Huh?
Were her friends Cowboys fans? Maybe they did that shit on purpose.
I don't know. I didn't even see her friends. I just saw her walking around aimlessly, and then I didn't see her no more. So I assume her friends finally got her.
You know, I saw some shit happen like that when I used to be stationed in San Diego. We went to a Chargers game. And I want to say it was like the military. Like, military got in for free or whatever. You know, so you had to be there like at 9 o'clock in the morning if you wanted to find a place to park. Number one. Number two, if you wanted to find a good place to park, you need to be there at 8. Because people were tailgating. It looked like started at like 7 o'clock in the morning at the stadium in San Diego, Qualcomm. So I remember, like, it was the fourth. It was like, it's like the last, like, 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. And me and my friend was getting ready to leave. And we saw a girl in the parking lot. And, you know, when the game ends in San Diego and it's in the evening, I mean, it's not late on the West Coast, but it's late for y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's dark, and she's just wandering through the parking lot. And there's, like, dudes out there hanging out by their car, doing whatever it is men do and shit. And you just see this one girl just roaming the parking lot, fucked up. Just slow down from the slow down. And I think we kind of had the same thought. Like, why would you let somebody like that out of your sight knowing that they are drunk off their ass? Because if he was probably someplace else, somebody would have took advantage and probably something, you know, bad would have happened. So me being the good person, I found security. I'm like, can you get her? Because she's out here I got security. Like, y'all need to get her. So you see all the potential suspects. I'm like, you see all the potential suspects right there for some shit going wrong? Better get her.
Man.
Got it.
Okay, we got to move on now.
Oh, can we talk about Mr. Rose?
Oh, yeah, and Derrick Rose has to undergo another surgery.
That right. Needs to
he needs insurance for his fucking knees. He needs insurance for the fucking knees.
I'm sorry, Derrick Rose, he a good dude, but that nigga need to retire. Because he can't. He hasn't played a full season in 3 or 4 years now.
Mm. And how much did they pay him?
I think they paid him a pretty penny.
Yeah, he hasn't played the full season since 2012.
Yeah. And this is
wait. I could be wrong. What was the year that they lost to Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals? Was it 2012 or 2011?
I think that was 2011.
Let's see, because it was might have been. Hold on. It might have been 2011, but yeah.
But it's the knee that he messed up the first time, so it's the right knee meniscus. It's something about that right knee.
His knee's a shot. He just hacked up.
Yeah, it was 2011. Yeah, he hasn't been the same since. So I mean, at this point, this is the third. This is the second time. This is his third knee injury. The second on the same knee. Both knees have been injured.
Mm-hmm.
One knee being injured twice. Honestly, I don't mean to be negative, but I'm going to be real. He might have to really consider retirement. I don't want him to be the next Penny Hardaway, the next Tracy McGrady. I don't want him to be the next Brandon Roy.
I'm going to tell you right now, and this is the harsh reality behind it. Football players have this same issue, too, because they can play on turf instead of on grass, which is obviously harder than grass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you've been playing on these different surfaces for X amount of years, high school, college, you know what I'm saying? And in the case of basketball, you're always playing on either playing on concrete or you playing on hardwood. Those are two specialties. Over a period of time, when you think about it, you're talking about over 20 years of stress on those same muscles and knees, sharp turns, sharp, quick movements on those same knees, and you're X feet tall. That shit wears you down. And when not only that, especially in males, you know, y'all puberty don't stop until about 25. Y'all still pubing the fuck out. You're still growing. So, because y'all are still growing and trying to get accustomed to your bodies and shit, guess what happens when you do all that jerking and quit moving around and shit and you still growing? You moving the wrong shit around. And it don't take nothing for that shit to go and pop out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, because you develop late, because men develop late, it's just bound to happen. So you're talking about over 20 years of playing on these surfaces, doing these quick, sharp movements, and the muscles are weak. You've worn down ligaments that you didn't even know existed until college or the pros. And on top of that, you're getting older. You know what I'm saying? And Derrick Rose isn't like old. He is not even that old.
He's not even, I don't think he's not even 26 yet.
No, he's still a baby.
But one of the things that you get, the longer it takes for you to heal from serious injuries like that. So that's another thing to consider.
And a lot of things that other people don't realize, when you have one knee injury or one ankle injury, anything at a point where there's a joint involved, you're prone to more of those. So when you have your first knee injury, guess what? You are bound to have more knee injuries after that, and each one worse than the last.
I can attest to that somewhat because I just in high school playing baseball, and then I dislocated it partially again like later on in life, and the doctor, when I got it examined, told me that because I dislocated it fully once before, I'm susceptible to having to dislocate a few more times, so... Yeah, after that.
So, like, think about it. Like with tennis players and baseball players, what is the most common injury that they get? What is the most common procedure that they get all the time? Just really think about it.
Their elbow.
Mm-mm. Well, pitchers, anyway. Elbow, and for pitchers and tennis players, it's their shoulder. Because you're doing a repetitive motion over and over and over. Repetitive motion over and over and over. Over and over and over, repetitive motion. continuously. Now, you've been doing this motion again for over 20 years. Over 20 years you've been doing this. And the one time you raise your arm up to do a serve, you fuck up your shoulder. And you got to get rotator cuff surgery.
She has a point there.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, the most common injury for pitchers is the shoulder. Because a lot of them do mess up their rotator cuffs.
Mm-hmm. With golf players, it's usually their back because they use their whole upper body to put the weight into the swing. So it's usually their back going from the middle of the back down to the lower back. They have to do a lot of shit that maintains that deals with posture. And if their posture is not right when they hit that golf ball, you can really fuck yourself up.
Yeah.
If your stance isn't right when you hit that golf ball, because you need to have a strong base and a strong core. Granted, Phil Mickelson don't look like he got a strong core, but he might have a strong core with them man boobs he got. But back injuries are very common for golf players.
Very much so. Speaking of golf, hey, Armandre, you hear the news about the upcoming Ryder Cup here?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, they ball named the for the European and U.S. side.
Oh, yeah. I did. I was listening to Sirius. I heard part of it, then I got called into a meeting.
What'd you say?
I said I heard part of it, but then I got called into a meeting at work.
Yes. Derek Clark is going to be the captain for the European team, and Davis Love III is going to be the captain for the U.S. team. He's only the third person to captain the U.S. Ryder Cup team more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but the last time he captained the team, that was when Europe made a comeback on Sunday to win over on our soil. So I'll be interested to see how things go.
Hmm.
And it's supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be either a Hazel team. I forget where they're supposed to be at. And I'm interested to see how the President's Cup going to go. Winter warnings and advisories for the third time in 8 days. And then also, remember I brought up that story about the golfer who got attacked in Hawaii?
Yeah.
They actually made an arrest of a suspect. They actually arrested that.
Oh, somebody is hurt.
Yeah, my son, I think it's past his bedtime, so he needs to go to bed. He's trying to fight it, though.
So.
Let's go ahead and handle him real quick. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, where we? Damn, we still need to talk about the damn NFL Combine. Like, how did we skip that?
We talking about the Combine?
Yeah, but hold on, I actually want to bring something up before I actually go into the Combine. Rajon Rondo got suspended.
For what?
Him and Rick Carlo got into a dispute.
Were hands thrown.
Honestly, I'm looking at the story. I'm actually looking at the story now.
They ain't throw hands, I don't understand.
Yeah, him and Rick Carlo have been going at it since he was traded to the team in December. I mean, nobody knows what sparked the conversation. But, I mean, they got into it because Rondo wanted to take a time. Carlo wanted to take a time out, and Rondo didn't make the call. Which actually forced Carlo to come onto the sideline and the Mavs to get a technical. Then both of them actually went into. They actually went back and forth exchanging words. He's only suspended for one day, though.
Ooh, one
day. They calling it conduct detrimental to the team.
Can't we all just play along?
I guess not. Apparently
can we
not.
All
I mean,
just play along? I mean, damn. Dude, it's your fucking job.
Honestly, no, I don't think so.
It's a fucking job. Y'all better pretend like y'all work, you know.
I mean, you know how some of these athletes act, though. I mean, a lot of them act like they're above authority. They can do or say whatever they want, or they can be higher than a coach's call. I mean,
you know, watching Rondo play on the court is the equivalent of watching a child that you've given, like, 100 pixie sticks to. Like, that motherfucker just cannot. He's, like, all over the place.
I mean, he has a lot of energy. He plays at a high level. I will give him that.
He has, like, so much freaking energy. I can't. I get exhausted watching him play.
Honestly, I thought him with Monte Ellis was going to be a great pair-up. Because, I mean, both of them are very high-energy players. Both of them have exceptional speed. Both of them play at a very fast-paced level.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they both can play point guard, but Monte Ellis is a better scorer than Rondo. So with that, I will put Rondo at point because he's better controlling the ball than Monte is. Monte is a straight scorer. Monte, he'll be a hell of a two guard. I mean, with that fast-paced lineup, honestly, this Dallas Mavericks team can only get better. Hopefully, they can get it to the point where they gel together, to the point where they can actually be a serious contender to win the NBA title. They have the pieces.
They just need to learn how to work together.
I mean, it's different when you're bringing in new players. I mean, they brought in Rondo. They just brought in Amari Stoudemire. I mean, adding new players, especially all-star players, to a team that already was sinking. I mean, it can throw a lot off. Rondo in Boston, he was used to being the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a position where he's not really the guy no more. I mean, you on a team with all-stars. You have Monte Ellis. You got Dirk. You got Amari Stoudemire come off the bench. I mean, you got Tyson Chandler. This Dallas Maverick team is pretty stacked. So, with that being said, Rondo got to learn his place right now. Your place is a part of the Dallas Mavericks team. You're not the star. You're not the franchise player on this team. You are the point guard that they brought in to control the clock and run the offense. That is your job. That is your role. You are known for assists. Do that. You have plenty of guys that can score. Where you can have 15 to 20 assists a game. So, like I said, I mean, he got to follow suit. Was it okay? Oh shit! Hell yeah! So apparently they're really trying to get this NFL team back in LA. I posted something, I believe, yesterday.
You talking about Oakland?
They're actually considering the Rams. Englewood approves Rams owner plans for a new NFL stadium. The Rams owner versus going back to L.A. I mean, from what they got the picture of how they want to design it, this thing is going to be beautiful. This is going to be a $2 billion
state-of-the-art stadium.
But they're going to have a bathroom that cleans itself?
Shit, for $2 billion, it better.
Shit, a bathroom that don't need attendance but always is clean?
Look, look, look. How about the bathroom cleans itself but it still has an attendant to give you breath mints and warm towels?
Ooh, I like that. I like that, but we're putting it in Inglewood.
I mean, granted, I mean, think about it.
Well, Inglewood,
a lot of NFL
Inglewood isn't that bad. It depends on where in Inglewood, I guess. I know a lot of stadiums are in the hood. It's like, you know, VA hospitals and military hospitals are.
In the hood, yeah.
In the hood.
You know.
Nobody wants to admit it. But VA hospitals are sort of kind of like in the hood because they're training hospitals.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, looking at this picture, I'm blown away because, I mean, it's on
I hope it might be a
casino of that sort.
I hope, you know, it doesn't turn to shit like some of these other stadiums, that, you know, because it seems like as fast as they can put them up, they can turn into shit just as fast immediately after. It's like the craziest thing.
Honestly,
like you do want something nice, and you do want to put nice things in those neighborhoods to help stimulate the local economy and things like that. You know, a lot of kids could get jobs, you know, during the school year working the stadiums. It's another venue.
Yeah.
Also for concerts too, you know.
Yeah.
So you do want to you do want to put things like that in those areas. It's just like, it's kind of like, but damn, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Hopefully they maintain it a whole lot better than some of the other stadiums.
I look at a lot of these stadiums. A reason why I think a lot of these big stadiums fail is because not really the area that they're in, but the fact that they're not able to host other events outside of football.
Football, which is stupid.
I mean,
why would you have all that fucking space and not even offer? You know how many concerts you can hold in a fucking football stadium?
Exactly.
Like, why would
you
just limit yourself just to professional football games?
It's a lot of things that a lot of people don't look at. I'm gonna give credit to Jerry Jones on this one. The fact that he put up that $1 billion stadium, it has hosted a lot of events. It has hosted a Mayweather fight. It's hosted a WrestleMania. It's hosted two NBA All-Star games. It has hosted a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's hosted a few college championship games.
Right.
FedEx Field. It's hosted a few games outside of the Redskins. It's hosted a few college games. It's hosted a few college championships.
Mm-hmm.
It hosted a few soccer games. Shoot, Real Madrid came over here and played at FedEx.
That's how the United Center is here. Like, I literally work down the street from the United Center. Like, I could, if I wanted to, I could walk, but the walk is kind of dangerous, so I would take a cab. But it's like down the street from where I work. And I'm going to tell you right now, United Center, you know, they have hockey for the Blackhawks. The Bulls play there. They have concerts out the ass there. Lady Gaga performed there over the summer. Even the baseball fields, like Wrigley Field, they're hosting AC/DC and Styx this summer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you use these venues to stimulate those local economies of those towns, of those neighborhoods, to throw a concert? You're providing access to entertainment the people who would have to drive all the way into L.A., you know what I'm saying, to go to the Staples Center or whatever. You are giving them the ability to say, hey, we are able to host so-and-so to have a concert at this venue right there in
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you allow that? That makes no sense to have something like that, and it just sits there and it's empty. It's a fucking football season.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, I mean, a lot of these owners put up these stadiums where they can't do nothing more but host NFL games. I mean, so I think some of it's due to the area too. I mean, because you don't really hear nothing about the Paul Brown Stadium hosting that many events. Cleveland
right.
Brown Stadium hosting that many events.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ford Field. Honestly, I don't understand how Ford Field don't get in, so, I mean,
you are a state-of-the-art
dome.
I mean, your
stadium is not even shaped like a dome, but it's an indoor stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of shit could be going on in there.
Yeah,
y'all could be hosting
a
job there. Fuck.
Shoot. I'm mad that DC Army still hold. I mean, well, Stadium Army, RFK still host job fairs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, like, they're waiting for all these great sports events and things like that, but what they're doing is, if that's what they're waiting for, then you know what they need to be doing? They need to be having the professional soccer teams playing these damn stadiums. If it's that fucking serious, have them playing them stadiums. Soccer damn near lasts all year.
Man, like I said, I'm getting
long,
everything.
It's a long.
I'm getting track. I'm getting track and field. I'm gonna try to host a baseball all-star game. I'm stretching it out.
I'm just saying, it's just so much that they could do in these communities outside of football, but to bring in revenue, you know what I'm saying? Not just for the stadium, for the local communities that are housing these stadiums, and for the owners who are like, let's build this shit here. Duh, you making money too. What is the problem?
Exactly.
What is the fucking problem? I will freeze that bitch over and all you motherfuckers be ice skating in the summertime. You think I'm playing? We gonna get our money today.
Exactly. I mean, as an owner of your own state, I mean, honestly, here's another thing I had to look at too. A lot of these NFL owners don't own their own stadium.
No,
so a lot
don't.
Of them don't even have that control to actually expand beyond NFL.
True. A lot of the owners are like, they're partners. They're all partners in the ownership or what have you. But even if you're a businessman and you're all about making money, dumbass, allow your venue to be used for other events outside of football when the football season's over. Because when the football season is over, believe it or not, you still have to pay them light bills. You still have to pay them whatever bills, maintenance, gardening, whatever, you know, to keep that bitch looking pretty. You still have to pay that shit. So how the fuck you gonna pay it if you just limiting yourself to football?
True. But since we're on the subject, man, okay. So Dez Bryant actually did a Ray Rice.
Okay.
There's actually a video of him assaulting a female.
Okay.
He got caught on the camera of... He got caught on the camera of a Dallas Walmart.
Oh, damn. Okay.
They said, I mean, right now they're still saying that it's a rumor, but they said the video hasn't been released yet.
When they gonna release it? When TMZ get it?
Possibly.
Because TMZ got a way of getting all the shit first.
Because, I mean, they, right now, the Cowboys nor Dez Bryant came out about the video, so I don't know. But, I mean, it's going around. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked. None against Dez Bryant, because, I mean, he's a great receiver. However, this is a man that once upon a time, not so long ago, slept his own mama. So for him to actually hit another woman, I wouldn't be surprised. But I mean, if it's so, but I'm not gonna really pass any judgment on it until the video actually comes out.
I hope for his sake that video doesn't come out, because if the crackdown on this whole domestic violence, even though I don't know what the woman was in relation to him, I don't think anybody does at this time. It's just that it's not a look that the NFL can afford to have. It really, really isn't. It's just not a good look for the NFL. You're talking about a whole season of just fuckery from players all season. You know, in their private lives. You know what I'm saying? A whole season of misbehavior, bad conduct, piss poor judgment. You got this guy going to rehab for quote unquote alcoholism or binge drinking or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You got Ray Ray, and then you got your boy Adrian Peterson, who that shit's still like up in the air on him. He should be back, I'm assuming, next season, but I think his visitations with his son will be supervised. Not really sure. It's still up in the air. I know it was like proposed. So, and then, of course, we got our favorite poster child for bad behavior, whose trial finally started going. My boy
Hernandez.
Hernandez. His trial is finally going. He may be involved in other murders. So, besides this murder of the semi-pro football player, he may be a part of additional murders, which add additional charges to his rap sheet, which would lead him into conspiracy to commit murder or conspiracy and committed murder, accessory to murder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you talking about almost 2 years of piss poor behavior from NFL players.
Yeah, I point though. Also, I look at this like, days, like, I mean, if the video comes out, this is the wrong time in his career for it to come out. You on a verge of when you're trying to negotiate, when you're trying to get that big money contract that you have performed for.
Mm-hmm.
Now he could mess his money up even if the video doesn't get released. I mean, if the video gets released, it's going to hurt. It's going to do some damage to his career. However, even if it doesn't get released, but there's still evidence where it's no longer. I mean, it's still not. But it's up to the point where the team's not going to look at it as a rumor. It can hurt him financially.
But you also got to look at this. Let's say hypothetically the video doesn't come out right away. We'll say that shit comes out in the middle of the season. Now the commissioner has to make a command decision. Are we going to keep putting up with this shit, or do I need to make an example out of you?
Honestly,
I think because this is what they do. Those videos come out when they play in football. Those videos rarely come out when it's the off season or when they're in training. That shit comes out while they're still playing football. Ask Ray. How that shit works for him. They still playing football and shit. So now the NFL has to investigate, but Dez Bryant will be the example. You're out. I'm sick of this shit.
Honestly,
whoever presses charges, and after that, he's on his own. Pay your own lawyers. You get yourself out this shit, but you will never play football in this country again.
Man.
I don't think, okay, I think Goodell will make an example out of him because Dez actually has a history of off-the-field issues.
Yep.
So, with that said, I think Goodell will talk to him due to the fact of Dez's past. Now, will he be banned from ever playing football?
In this country,
no. I don't think he'd be banned. I don't think he'd be slapped that hard. He'll get a strong suspension.
He might lose a season or two. I actually think that he'll be the one that the commissioner boots out of the league altogether. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 because the difference. Well, why can't they?
Because the way they redid the personal conduct policy, and because this will be technically the first offense under this new policy, he would automatically get like a 6-game suspension. He wouldn't get a 1-year ban until the second offense. So, and if Goodell were to just bypass all that and ban him from the league indefinitely, he would have the union so far up his ass, each of his teeth would be named after members of the union.
I mean,
yeah.
But this isn't his first issue off the field, though.
But under the new player code of conduct, whatever, okay. Technically it is.
Mm. Saved by bureaucracy. You motherfuckers got more lives than a cat.
Must be nice.
It must be. Because if it was your black ass, your ass be out of a job. Ugh.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, rich people don't go through poor people problems. they don't work as hard as we do, but yet can do whatever they want and still keep their job. I mean,
right.
We show up late 5 times. We fat. Shoot. We passed the drug test. Good night. I mean, we got a drug test. Good night.
I think back to when I was in the service. Like, seriously, getting woke up out of your sleep to go piss in a cup. Like, they at your room on your door, the whole building. Everybody takes a piss test. We all pissing at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not even in your unit. I don't give a shit. You pissing in this cup.
Wow.
Pee in this cup.
I wanna pee on you. Yes, I do. I pee on you.
I'm telling you. Now, when I go to the hospital in this hospital, we need a urine cup. I can do that shit on command. They're like, do you have to go to the bathroom? No, but I will once I have to. Once I, you know. Go in there and have to pee in this cup.
Or what? That's
man. You want to know something funny? Before I got hired into the hospital, I actually had to take a urine test to get in. Opposed to when I was hired to work at the Census Bureau, they didn't. I took no drug or piss test at all. Not one.
When I first got hired for federal service, I took one drug test, and that's the last one I've taken. That was in 2006.
I'm trying to think. The first time I think the hospital was the first time I ever took a piss test for a job.
I remember when I first went into the federal government, I had to take the piss test, and that's when I got on permanently after I was there as a temp.
Mm-hmm.
In my nearly 6 years in my nearly 6 years of service in the federal government, you know how many times I took a piss test? Three times in 6 years. Well, two times after the initial one, it was only twice, and those two times came in my last year of service. And I passed each one of them. But in between,
you know what I think?
In between my first and my last one, I didn't take one. And then I had to take one for this current job I'm at, but because I'm not in a safety-sensitive function, they don't do random drug testing.
You but know where do, I took more urinalysis testing in a job? And do not laugh. Outside of the military, Target.
Oh.
When
I'm about to, at Target.
Huh? When I worked at Target, shit, and it wasn't a lot of black people. So my black ass, I swear, got caught up all the time peeing in the cup. I had to drive to the LabCorp office. Give him my employee number and ID, and I had to do a drug test. I think, and I wasn't even at Target for a whole year. That whole time, I was at Target for 10 months. So in 10 months, I took a drug test at least once a month.
Damn.
Oh, shit.
At Target.
Wow. Oh, you want to know another job that pays under $20,000 that makes you do that? Four more years. I never worked there, but I know I know people that did.
Mhm.
And they do piss you.
Oh, and you know who will really piss you? That post office.
Oh, that's understandable.
I have heard horror stories. One of my girlfriends used to work for the post office, and she said they was random with their shit all the time. And it wouldn't just be like random people. It'd just be everybody pissing in these cups. Make it happen.
I can understand that.
The post office is regular with that shit. That's why they lose a lot of people though, because of those regular random pistons. Retention is low.
Did I ever pass the piss test though? Who?
Who was he talking about last week? Did he ever finally pass a piss test, or is he still failing? He's still flunking out a piss test?
Who,
Yeah.
That nigga.
Who?
John Jones, that nigga.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How the hell you fail a piss test?
Anderson Silva, too. Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Oh.
Silva failed. He felt two in the past couple of months.
Doesn't he get one more?
I have no idea. But honestly, right now he's looking like my boy Ben Johnson that I put up last week's episode.
Is anybody gonna watch that Pacquiao Mayweather fight?
No.
Like, I've been wanting him to fight for so long, and now I'm, like, indifferent. Any day now. Waiting on you.
Honestly, I lost whatever lust that fight has had. whatever excitement I had for that fight, it completely died.
Me too.
I lost interest in it.
I did too. Like, I'm just like, they're finally going to fight? Yeah. Who cares? Somebody needs money. That's how I feel about it. Somebody needs money.
Technically, neither one of them really do. At the same time, that payday is going to be hard for both of them to turn down. Because, I mean, this will be one of the biggest paydays in boxing history. Hands down.
but nobody's really interested, though. Like, you're not the first person. You're not the first person I heard that said, you know, in the beginning, I was excited for this fight. Like, yeah, they should fight. Now, 2015, you just like, I might go to Hooters and watch it.
Honestly,
I don't know yet.
A lot of people are already talking about the fight because, I mean, the fight is already sold out at MGM Grand. That fight sold out in 15 minutes.
Again, I'm just really not feeling it.
This is my thing. I've never been a big boxing fan. I never really watched any of the pay-per-views, even during the time when boxing was actually good. So, you know, I heard about the fight, and everybody on social media was going nuts. Oh, finally, finally. And I'm just sitting over here like, I could give two pieces of monkey crap about this fight. I just don't care. I just don't care about this fight. I don't care. Like, they're going to fight,
yeah.
and then you'll never hear about them really ever again after that. Maybe.
But you know what, though? The last Mayweather fight was unremarkable. It really, really was. Like, yeah, they went, you know, pound for pound, round for round, whatever. But that shit was just unremarkable. That shit was so fucking boring. I knew people who was pissed that they had bought pay-per-views. Because that shit's like $100.
Honestly, I don't buy Mayweather fight.
I don't either.
Let's look at one. Who does he fight? He fights a bunch. He's either fighting a nobody or a washed up, once upon a time great. So you already know the outcome. By him fighting sorry competition, he's going to win. I don't take nothing away from Mayweather. He's a very talented boxer. He's a technician in the ring. He's a magician with gloves on. However, I wouldn't pay for a Mayweather fight because, I mean, I don't want to see a great fighter beating down someone who can't stand toe-to-toe with him. That's like watching the Bulls of the 90s beat up on the Clippers of the 2000s. That's like watching the 72 Dolphins, who went undefeated and won a Super Bowl, beat up on the 2008 0-16 Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Hey. That's bad. That's pretty bad.
You know who I want Mayweather to fight? I want him to fight Mike Tyson.
Okay, that fight will never happen based on every reason I will name. One, not in the same weight class.
I don't care.
Mike was a heavyweight his whole career. Mayweather, he will never weigh over 150.
Don't matter. I just really would like him to fight Mike Tyson.
Tyson hasn't been in boxing shape since
Prison.
Bill Clinton's last reign.
Since prison.
Since Bill Clinton's last presidential term. That was after prison.
It was after prison.
It was after prison.
Was it before the tattoo on the face?
It was before the tattoo on the face. It was when he came back in 96 and won a title again. It was when he won a world title again. Then lost to Evander.
Oh, this is before Eargate.
It was around that time.
He may not be
nibbling on ears.
He may not be a boxer, but he's in shape to test on reporters and everybody else, though.
Mike has been doing good lately,
man. He's been at peace with himself.
That's why I think he should fight
Mayweather. He's been at peace with himself and with the world.
Which is why he should fight Mayweather. What better way to bring more peace to yourself and the world?
You just want to see Mayweather get his your ass whooped, don't you?
I really do. Is that too much to ask?
Honestly, I want to see Mayweather actually get challenged.
He might get challenged with Mike Tyson. He might hold his own against that fight. We don't know.
I don't know. Mike hasn't been in a ring in over a decade.
Mike could be sluggish. He's definitely old. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't put him against Mayweather.
He doesn't have the speed that Mayweather has. But it would be just like watching Tyson's punch out. It would be just like watching that shit. But you try to put your little hands up. And he just break through that little block, and you just like, and the fight
you
is over.
Back on, you punching that, tail. You going to, you, it's like you boxing Glaze Joe.
Damn it.
You remember Glaze Joe? He was the first member you fought on Punch Out.
Yeah.
But nah,
on Nintendo and get all the way to Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson whooped my ass. I was like, God damn it, I don't want to play this shit no more.
I found the cheat code to where you can skip fighting all those other dudes and you go straight to Mike Tyson. I said, I need to practice.
Yeah,
I started from the beginning.
I did too.
I need to practice.
I think everybody, when their first time, when they had to fight Tyson, I think nobody got no more than one or two punches in.
Oh, you got a punch in?
My first attempt, I got a punch on.
My poor little man was turning all kinds of colors.
Man, how about, I was about to say. But no, I mean, Mike in his A-Day, he was lightning fast. He was one of the fastest boxers. I'm not going to say heavyweights. Okay. Boxers I've ever seen.
And the prettiest.
What?
And the prettiest.
You mean his boxing ability?
No, I mean like Muhammad Ali. I'm the prettiest.
Oh. I mean, that's different. I mean, Ali, what Ali did in a ring, I mean, it was second to none.
And he was pretty.
What?
That's what's up. Oh, my God. We got 2 minutes left.
He wasn't a bad-looking dude. I wouldn't necessarily say he was pretty.
We didn't get to talk about
that. I never really looked at Ali like that. All I know he was about 6'4", about 2+, had a funny little high-top bush. He was one of the baddest trash talkers in sports.
Support the Mayweather Tyson fight. That's worth watching. Yeah. The venue will be in the street though. I want that shit totally in the street. Like in
better
the alley.
Better yet.
Like Rocky V.
Better yet.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Like Rocky V. Yeah, I point there. But no. This is where the venue's gonna be. They have two venues set up. They have two venues set up to be the host of fight.
Okay.
One is Mike Tyson's Pigeon Coop.
The other one
is Fat Burger. Since Floyd already has a record of already has a history of fighting in.
No.
T.I. might be in Tyson's corner.
Lord, see.
T.I., 50 Cent, so basically Mike Tyson's entourage is going to be T.I., 50 Cent, The Game.
Oh, God.
He's like, hey,
you know what? Like, 50 Cent versus Floyd would be a
heard
marvel.
You
be very marvelous.
Fight society. And that T.I. bitch, man. You're going to fuck around. He's like, you're going to fuck around and get these guys in Atlanta get guns. Man, 50 Cent went in on that joint.
Man.
And then, and so really what Mike Tyson is going to fight Mayweather with is a book.
You know,
he's going to say, read out loud.
Wait. Okay. Can we really say that, though? Can we really say Mike Tyson is going to give Floyd a book, though?
Hey, Mike Tyson can read. I just think he got a speech impediment.
I know, that's a joke.
Read,
I mean, you got one that can't read and the other one that when he pronounces words, it doesn't sound like the word that it's supposed to be.
No, it
I'm
never do. It never do. But at least he know what the hell he reading, though.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
It's time to close out the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't
hashtag
even get to talk about the NFL Combine or nothing like that.
You can talk about the Combine next week. Shit.
I mean, we brought it up, and we said nothing. We didn't say we
yes,
need to talk about
talk,
the NFL
Combine. Let's talk about the NFL Combine, the new auction block.
Let's talk about. Let's talk about the Combine real quick. Let's go ahead and get it out.
The new auction block. Yeah.
Who impressed you on the Combine the most?
I fell asleep on it, to be honest with you.
I think it was two people, Marcus Mariota and that cornerback who broke the record for the broad jump. Both of those cats impressed me. Though the guy who broke the broad jump record didn't run in the 40, but he'll run the 40 on his pro day. So I want to see if he got hops and speed. If he does, somebody's going to have themselves one hell of a cornerback in their secondary come 2015. And then Mariota, man, Mariota's definitely what he's advertised as, a very athletic, skilled quarterback who I think can transfer into the pro game with very little issues. He just needs to find himself a good situation with plenty around him. And right now, with Tampa Bay being the number one overall pick, no. He would need to sit on the bench.
Honestly, I don't have him going first. I still don't got him getting drafted over Jameis.
You think Jameis going to be number one?
But Jameis might be number one.
My impression of Jameis from the scouting combine is that he's definitely going to be like a black version of Ben Roethlisberger. He's not going to burn you when he leaves the pocket, but he's going to be able to, because of his strength and his athleticism, he's going to be able to keep the play going and make plays move, which is what Ben Roethlisberger does. Like I said, Ben Roethlisberger ain't gonna be no burner, but he will keep the play going and then make the defense tired. So that's what Jameis is. It's like a black version of Ben Roethlisberger. Hopefully he doesn't do like Ben Roethlisberger and start raping white women.
We ain't even gonna talk about it tonight. This is a rape-free show. Us at the Skybox and Two Sides of the Story Productions, we do not condone rape. We don't condone surgery rape. We don't condone nothing that involves the word rape. Okay. Now,
you're welcome.
For me, Randy Gregory, he blew me out of the water. I don't remember the last time I've seen a defensive end run that fast.
Dog, I seen that. I was like, holy shit.
I mean, this tall, lanky linebacker / defensive end. Coming in, you know, running. First of all, this man had on a gold watch. Who does that?
He does.
But, I mean, I'm just saying him run like, I mean, I already knew he was fast. I mean, I've seen him run down receivers and running backs. But watching him do a 40, I'm like, young. He's going to be something special for somebody. He's going to be something special. Another player who impressed me was Kevin White, receiver of the West Virginia Mountaineers. I mean, he's one of the most perfect receivers. I mean, his vertical was I think he did 42-inch vertical, 43. And his 40 time was what, 4.3. He will be the first receiver coming out, without a shadow of a doubt. He'll be the first receiver off the board. I don't care what nobody says. It will not be Amari Cooper.
Well, who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But I'm, like I said, I can't wait till we hit Chicago and see who's going to go where and what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, now we can close the show out.
Yay!
Okay. So, this is, well, Friday is his and hers. Get whatever situation status that you are in, whatever questions you have, get those answered. Get those answered. On his and hers, Friday, every Friday night, your hosts are Almond Joy, our very own. You got Dulce David Poetry, Free, the Bishop Eddie. Monday, come chill out in the hangout for those who like MMA comics, cartoons, movies, and technology devices. The hangout is a spot for you. Hosted by Poetry, Bishop Eddie, and the best in the world. Tuesday, we got the DMVF Unleashed. Hosted by Poetry, the best in the world, JT. And Wednesday, every single Wednesday.
Okay.
You have the best show, the best sports show on Blog Talk TV. Oh my God, Blog Talk TV? Really? Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody sleepy.
I swear, it's like I've been doing radio under the influence for so long that one night I decided not to drink and it's like I'm not flowing with it.
Quick, hurry! Somebody take him to Joe's Crab Shack.
No Joe's, no Joe's. I stopped doing Joe's when they hurricanes and margaritas started messing with me. They started getting too sweet. It was like I was drinking sugar.
No.
Yeah. I could use some Apple Crown, though.
Okay.
Yeah, that would make me smile. But nah, catch the best sports show on Blog Talk Radio, The Skybox, hosted by DC's People's Champ, Almond Joy.
Wait.
And me, Chills. This has been another great episode of the Skybox. Catch us next Wednesday and every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time zone, 8 p.m. Eastern. Oh, wait, 8 p.m. Central. Shit. God, I need a drink.
Damn, did you even mention the mic check?
Right now, mic check is on break right now. It's a few things that mic check needs to be up on.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. That, I believe that is it. Are we done? Yeah, we're done. Anything anybody want to add before we go off the air?
What that one you do?
Hey, you know what? Chicago's not that far for you to find. You know what? We ain't going to do it on the air.
I can't wait to be in Baltimore this Saturday for Warfare and Chaos. My man, Black GOP's first show as General Manager of Chaos. Me and Junior are going to be up there. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to be up there.
You know what?
That sounds like
fun. You know what? I can't go. So F it. Nigga got to work this weekend.
Dang.
And
I get to go on my trip. I'll tell y'all about the new whip next week.
That's what's up. All right, y'all. Time to be outie. Gotta go. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.